What a joy to see each of you in church this morning, and I pray that the Lord does something in your heart while you're here. Trust He already has, but then also pray that He would continue to work in your heart, in your life, and we'll get started this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 40, and if you turn your Bibles there to Psalm 40, we'll begin there this morning. And did hear this story while you're turning to Psalm 40 about this preacher. He was a strong Bible believer and stood out against all kinds of wickedness, and he was preaching on self-control, and he preached and he said, if I get all the beer in this world, he said, it's caused so much heartache, and it has. It's caused so much death, and it has destruction. He said, I'd pour it in the river. And he said, my family has been wrecked and ruined by that. He preached about, if I get all the wine, I'd pour it down the river. He said, all the whiskey, everything. He said, I'd pour it down the river. And he preached like a wild man about that the whole time. And then the song leader got up at the end, and he said, for the dismissal song, let's all stand and sing, Shall We Gather at the River? So you got to watch those song directors. Brother Dan's already left, but we're going to stay on the first part of that message. So Psalm 40, we're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and trust that the Lord would speak to your hearts this morning as we look in here. Maybe not a Glory Land sermon, but one that just reminds us of what we have in salvation. And we're thankful for the Word of God, of course. I waited patiently for the Lord, verse 1 says, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. But I love these first three verses specifically. And verse number 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth. And I believe that everybody ought to sing the praise of the Lord. You say, Pastor, I'm not a very good singer. The Bible talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. You may be making it only that joyful noise only to Him, but I believe you ought to make it. And one nice thing about a crowd this size, you cannot be that good, and it kind of blends us all in. And I've been standing on the platform here for 3 years since I've been your pastor. Never once, one time, Dan asked me to take part in a special, and that's really hurting my feelings. And so I believe you ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So good to see Miss Pat Shaw here this morning. Miss Pat, we love you. Thank you for being here. And what a blessing that God has got her here this morning. Well, I want to preach for a little bit about where you're standing at, because the Bible says here that He hath brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And I trust that you're standing on that rock this morning. That means that you're a born-again person. You're saved. We can see that we have a wonderful psalm about the deliverance of God's servant as it goes on. But here we see this aspect of standing on the solid rock. And I read a story about this missionary over in Kenya. And he had told the story about this little 8-year-old girl that had fallen down to a pit, actually broke her leg as she fell. And there was an older native lady there, Najiri, that happened along and clung down in that pit and was going to help her out. But what she didn't realize was there was a snake coiled up in the walls of that little pit that she'd fallen into. And that snake had bit both that older lady, but then that little 8-year-old girl. And they both were treated by the missionary doctor, and the little girl went home after treating and checking up on her, and she woke up the next day just fine. But the older lady that had gone down in there as a good Samaritan to help out that little girl, they took her home and tried to treat her, but she never woke up because of the poison that she had gotten from that snake. And the little girl couldn't understand why that lady was so helpful and why she still didn't make it. And the missionary nurse, after the doctor had kind of helped with the missionary nurse, explained to the little girl, Monica, that both of you got bit, but that lady that helped you received all the venom because she got bit first. And although the snake struck back at you, there wasn't any venom left right then, and so you survived. And she didn't. And as I read that story, The Bible talks about the sting of death being gone. O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. And I think about how Christ has taken the sting, like that dear lady that tried to help out the little girl, helped her more than she'd ever realized she would, but tried to help her out and did help her out, and she took the venom of that poisonous snake. My friend, if you're a Christian in here, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you know Him as Savior, you have got the sting of death has been taken out, and you sit there as a child of God, realizing that one of these days, this old world's going to pass away, but one of these days, you'll be in heaven together with the Lord forever. And I think about how blessed we are in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He picked us up out of some wicked stuff. And we don't have time to go through everybody in this room today. But if we did, each of us, doesn't matter whether you got saved after a life that was lived in the world for decades or whether you got saved as a younger child, you still needed the same blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You still needed that shed blood of Christ to save you. Sometimes churches do a disservice and they'll have somebody come in and give a testimony of all of the wickedness that they were involved in before they came to Christ. And then at the end of that long testimony, they'll give a short little blurb about how Jesus made all the difference. My friend, I'd like to give a small little blurb about all the sin and wickedness that somebody was in and then spend a whole lot of time just bragging on what Jesus did to get that person out of that life of sin, because we don't magnify or we don't bring greater call to a life that's lived without Christ. But I'm speaking this morning about where are you standing? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us to reminisce about how great it is to be saved. And Lord, I pray if there's several in here that are unsaved, you know my heart, I've been praying. If somebody's in this room or listening or watching that's not saved, they're still in that miry clay, I pray, dear Lord, they'd be saved today. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see in verse number 1 and 2 the condition that we were in. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. You may have wandered in sin for a long time, but praise the Lord, you found Christ if you're saved this morning. And you understand when the Bible talks about that horrible pit, that miry clay, I can't do a good job at describing how wicked and how bad that is. I can do a little job. I remember when we were at one of the houses we lived in when I was growing up, a single wide trailer, and back behind there was an old farm pond. And some of those old farm ponds that don't get much fresh water to run in, they get that sticky black mud that's on there. And you'd stick down in that and, you know, you'd have to pull one sip out. Some of you all been there? You say, you didn't get in that. I said, well, we was too far from the swimming pool. I didn't have no pool. So that's where we swam if we wanted to swim. My brother got an old boat one time and we'd launch that thing out. Of course, probably just from me to Brother Abbott over there, so it wasn't very far across, but we would get stuck in that mud, get up almost to your knees, and you drive one foot down by trying to pull the other foot back up. And I think about that miry clay that the Bible talks about that you and I were in. The condition that we were in was a horrible one, the Bible says, a horrible pit. And my friend, if you're a Christian this morning, I don't think you should go back and live in that old life and glory in it. But I believe, like your rearview mirror, you ought to look back once in a while and say, praise the Lord. Lift holy hands unto Him and say, praise the Lord for what you got me out of. You ought to remember that horrible pit and the way that you were at. Do you remember, as I remember, when you lay awake at night as a young boy, worried that if I don't wake up, then heaven might not be my home, but instead hell? I remember when I would be afraid to go to sleep and not knowing where I was going. Do you remember how that felt? Do you remember how that conviction was? And then when you remember how good it was when you finally got it settled and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a story in early 2000s, a little Canadian girl. She wasn't quite two. Little Erica wandered out of her mom's bed and her mom's house, though, in a cold Canadian winter. When her mother, Layla, finally found her, she appeared to be totally frozen. She wasn't, but she appeared to be. She was stiff and cold, and all signs of life seemed to be gone. They took her to a very prestigious center there, Stollery Children's Health Center. But to everyone's amazement, that little girl, with some medical help, she was able to get recovered, and she wasn't as damaged as they thought she was, or wasn't as bad as they thought she was, but she was able to skip and run. But how would she have been if Mom hadn't got out there to find her? And I'm thinking about you and me. You wandered far from the home too. You, some of us that grew up in good homes, whether you did or not, you wandered far away from where the Lord wanted you as well. Out in the cold and out in the distance away from anything that was warm. And I'm thinking about the condition that we were in as unsaved individuals. And you ought to have something either inside or on the outside that says, praise the Lord, I'm not like I used to be. I'm not all that I want to be, and I trust that you aren't either. But praise the Lord, I'm not like I used to be. And I'm thankful I can look back at the condition I was in. And friend, we wandered far from what God wanted for our family and for you as an individual. But praise the Lord, we were a long spot from the house. We lived in the wrong way, and we were sinking in that miry clay. But praise the Lord, I want to give you the second point, and that's in verse number 2 as well. Praise the Lord, we've got some concrete that we're standing on. You say, it doesn't say anything about concrete. I know, but it helps with my alliteration. And the first one was the condition we were in, and now the concrete that we're on, the rock that we're on, brought me out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Now, I've heard people say that I picked myself up by my own bootstraps. I pulled myself up. Friend, never happened. If you're dependent on what you can do, you'll stay down that same miry clay that you started in. It's only a work of the Lord that saves a soul. It's Jesus Christ. He's given a universal invitation, but don't ever get conceited and think that it's me that made this difference in my life. It's the Lord, and I see the concrete that we're standing on, and when you get your feet planted on that firm foundation, you are secure. As one person put it, I may stumble on this rock, but the rock has never stumbled under me. And I think about how blessed it is to be saved, to be safe in the arms of the Lord. My dad had an uncle that we would go to Uncle Blake's, and the way to get over there, you could either take your car down through this, you had to run through the creek bank to get over to this little house that he was kind of like a sharecropper type. He would be took care of this farm, but you either had to run your car down through the creek. If you didn't have a big enough, good enough car, you could park it on Highway 33, and you could park. There was a wide spot there, but if you're going to park there, you had to walk across this swinging bridge. Some of y'all been across those, got the cables on the sides, and then 1-inch boards across there, not very wide, and you'd get that on there. Now, I have older brothers, two of them, and so you can imagine older brothers always like to scare their little brother and get that thing shaken. Nothing scarier than to think you're going to meet your death on the little swinging bridge that goes over there. But my mom and sister wouldn't like to go across that bridge because it would sway. And sometimes those boards would not be as strong as you think they are. You'd step across one. But it was a glory land way. I think my mom wanted to kiss the ground every time she got over to the other side because she's back on sure footing. My friend, if you're saved today, you're on sure footing. I don't know better how to put it, except like the Bible says, set your feet upon a rock. And you know, there seems to be in this world that we live in, there seems to be no certainty. There seems to be no stability. What you used to be able to count on, now it's become unreliable. Used to be you could count on a family to be there for one another, and seems like the devil has put his target on every family in this world. Seems like that we used to have entities and institutions that you could depend on, but we're losing them by the scores. Some organizations that maybe you were involved in while you were a child, and they were teaching morals and teaching character and teaching the things that a young person needed, and now they've drifted so far that you're not comfortable sending your grandkids there because they're not getting what you got when back in the day. But in all of the changes that are made, in all of the wishy-washy things that go on, I'm thankful that we can, if you're saved, if you're a Christian person this morning, your feet are firmly planted on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have problems, but that does mean that that foundation won't falter or fail underneath you. I'm not saying that you won't take the winds and the storms that are blowing, but I'm saying that that foundation will stay secure and sure right under there where it's always been. I want you to see not only the concrete that we have, but I want to spend just a little bit of time in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." I told you not only do we have that concrete, because I want it to match the sea from the first point, but I want you to see the continuance that we have here. "He hath put a new song in my mouth," the Bible says, "even praise unto our God." He describes what that new song is. But look at the purpose of the new song. "Many shall see it and fear," not you, but God, "and shall trust in the Lord." Not only do you have that sure footing that God says it won't ever shake underneath of you, but you also have a song for the journey. I believe that can be literally true. Through your day that you go in, you can sing those old songs. You can sing those old truths in song. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." I believe you can have that new song, whether it's that song or some other song. I do believe the attitude of our heart is one that we can go along with a melody because of what Jesus did in my life. We've got a continuance that we have. We've got a song to go on from here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." And that new creature has a new song in his mouth, and he's able to sing the songs, and many will see it and fear and praise the Lord. It's not only that sure foundation that we're on. F.B. Meyer, an old preacher and author, told about these two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn, which is one of the mountains of the Alps. But he was so worried about safety, they hired three guides and they tied themselves to each other, a guide in the front, a traveler, and then a guide, and then a traveler, and then a guide in the back. And they were tied to one another. As the conditions got more treacherous, the guide in the back lost his footing and went down, but the next person and the next guide had their toe pick in and held for just a little while, but then they eventually fell as well. But the wise guide in the front of the pack, he had put a spike deep in that ice, and when the others had lost their footing, that wise guide from the front had prevented the whole group of them from falling to their death. And then they were able to regain their footing because of his sure spike that was down. And as we look at that certainty of your standing, then that certainty ought to give you now that song to go on with from here. Do you have a song in this week? Do you have a something going on in your heart? You've got more problems than we've got time to talk about today, and so do I. But in those problems, are we dwelling on the blessings of the Lord that's going to get us through those problems? I've got a list of problems right now that I could share with you, but I won't. But I'm not worried about any of those. I fret over them some, but I'm not worried that I'm not going to see the end of each of them. I'm going to see the end of each of them, and we're going to sing our way through them and praise the Lord that He is able to overcome whatever issue come my way. You, as a born-again believer, you have the continuance to go on and move on. What makes an old drunk sober up and finally be the dad that his kids need? It's that salvation. And what can make him continue on and stay that way for years? You know my testimony. My dad was a sailor and lived every way that a sailors are typically known for living until He met Jesus. And he got his feet put on the solid rock. And he's had the continuance to go on. And that was before I was born. And you're looking at someone who's never seen his father put any alcohol to his lips. You say, oh, would a little bit hurt him? It might have hurt him because of the life that the devil had him in before he got saved. But he's had the continuance to go on through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, I'm trying to get... Sometimes, you know, you get in the car and just take a little drive. It used to be common for people to take a little drive on a Sunday afternoon. And you don't really go anywhere. You're just enjoying the company. Well, maybe part of this sermon is just us taking a little Sunday drive and reminding us of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ in our salvation. And then if we've got all that and it's certain and it's sure and it's very, very settling, doesn't it make us also realize that we've got the certainty to go on from here? And he's going to let us ride this thing on out, picking up hitchhikers on the way, I hope, and showing them the way of Jesus Christ. What makes an old hothead, somebody who just fights at the drop of a hat, what makes him settle down and apologize? I'll tell you what will do it, a work of God in his heart. Somebody used to holler and scream and thump around on his family, but now Jesus got a hold of him. That wasn't just a temporary fix. No, my friend, that's something that can last for the rest of his life and on, of course. What makes somebody who used to be untrue to his vows all of a sudden straighten up and live a life that's true to his wife and his children and his family? I'm saying that he has put a new song in our mouth. It's not supposed to be the same after you got saved. And if you find yourself after you got saved wanting to live the exact same way that you did before you got saved, my friend, I would challenge you to check up on that. I'm not saying I haven't done it all right since I got saved. I've messed up plenty of times, but I've never messed up and not felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God to get back in line. We've got that continuance that we have. Somebody stands in the back of the church and says, I'd like to get saved, but I don't think I can live it. I'll go further than that, and I know you can't live it. God doesn't call upon you to live it. But he wants you to come to Christ and let him live his life through you. Your life was in a mess. You were that one that was in that miry clay, and your certain end was going to be destruction. But Christ picked me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. Establish my goings. A good friend of mine texted me this morning, said, praying for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. He pastors the Solid Rock Baptist Church in Belle Fountain, Ohio. So convinced they were of this solid rock that Jesus Christ is that they named their church after it about 7 years ago. He set our feet on that solid rock. He established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord is your Savior, I hope that the fireworks of God are going off in your soul to reminding you of what you used to be and what God got you out of, but also as you look forward that you're reminded of you're not living this life solo, you're not living this life on your own power, you're not walking in this Christian faith of your own volition. Instead, he hath put a new song in my mouth, he has established my going, he has done all these things, and he's going to keep on doing it. He's going to let us continue in that. I know the world is throwing everything it can at you, but my friend, be not discouraged. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I ask you this morning what I ask you at the beginning, and that is this: where are you standing? Are you certain that you're standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Is your faith solely in him? Your life was a mess in many ways. We understand that. The conditions we create were sorry and slippery and sad and dangerous. But now, as a child of God, you can stand on the solid rock. And if you're sitting here this morning or watching or listening, and you can't look back to a time when you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the full forgiveness of your sins, trusting Him and Him alone for your as your Savior. They don't come down and just say, oh, sure, I'll do that. My pastor brother-in-law was on a missions trip, and he preached to a large congregation on that mission field, and a whole wave of people came down. And the wise missionary said, now wait. He said, if you're just going to come to add Jesus to all the rest of the gods you have in your huts, that's not what he's asking. He's asking if you want to put your faith alone in Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior from your sins. And if you can't remember a time when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, this morning would be the greatest day in this world to do it. Today is the day of salvation. So if you're not sure you're saved, let me encourage you to realize our lost condition, but also encourage you to think about the Savior that wants to save everybody, and remind you of your need to receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It's simple for you, not simple for Christ. So if you're not saved, I challenge you to be saved today. But then if you're saved this morning, I trust that you may not be the one to stand and shout. And if you are, that's fine. If you're not, that's fine. But I pray that you're doing some shouting on the inside. Say, praise the Lord. I'm standing on that solid rock. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, you've allowed us another hour to be with our friends. And I thank you, dear Lord, for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I do believe it's the Sunday place to be. But Lord, more than all of these things, friendships and gatherings, more than all of these things, I trust that you would illuminate the hearts of some people in front of me. Show them, dear Lord, if they're not saved. And my friend, if you're not saved, I trust that today, that you would ask Christ to be your Savior. And if you are saved, that you would rejoice. You would shout the victory. Remind yourself with these difficult times that come that my feet are on the solid rock. The winds may blow and the storms may come, but I'm solid on the rock. And if you're here and God spoke to your heart, ultimately, would you just do business with Him, whatever that means? Some of you may need to come and be saved. Some may need to come and just rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Say, I'm saved, but I've been in some things I ought not to be. I've come to confess. You don't have to confess to me. I can't do anything about it anyways. But you want to confess to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to move on for you. Maybe somebody needs to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe somebody needs to be baptized. There's something in your heart that God's already moved upon that you need to do. Then I challenge you, don't disobey. Follow the Lord, please. Would you stand together with me as the ladies play something through? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. If you're here and you're not certain that you're saved, would you step out and come? Amen. Thank you. as they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. I would venture to say that there's maybe somebody that has been wrestling with this thing of their faith, not sure that heaven's their home. My friend, I lived like that for a long time. It's a miserable way to live. I'm going to ask you just to play through again another verse or two. And if that's you, would you take the courage to take that first step and let him or somebody, let Daniel or somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. You know, this church can't save anybody. We can't tell you a bunch of rules to follow to get to heaven. You can't get to heaven by following rules. But we can sure point you to Jesus Christ and allow you to receive him as Savior, because that's how a person gets to heaven. Our church can't take anybody. But we've been trying to for years tell everybody about somebody who would save anybody. As they continue to play, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in God's house this morning, and I want to thank each of you for being here and challenge you this week to invite you back tonight. Of course, you will get to meet Brother Alton Beal. This school is doing a great job training young people for the ministry, and I'd like for everybody to be exposed to it. But then I challenge you this week to not keep your faith somewhere hidden down inside where you're not secret agents. You know, that pastor that was greeting at the back door, and this fellow, he only came about once or twice a year, and he was greeting me at the back door, and he said, "Sir," he said, "love to see." He knew he came different times. He said, "Sir," he said, "want you to get engaged in the army of the Lord." And that fellow said, "I am." He said, "Really?" He said, "I don't see you very much." He says, "I'm in the Secret Service." We're not in the Secret Service. I challenge you to not let that faith get down in there. Pray and ask God. Say, who would I tell about my faith? Well, would you? I want all of us to engage in this exercise. As you leave, pray and ask the Lord to let you have some way to share your faith this week. And it could be as simple as a gospel tract with a good tip at the restaurant. There's plenty of them back here by the water fountain, different places. Maybe it's that person that comes in your business. And I know if you're working there, you have to be careful. You got to follow boss's protocols. I understand all that. But pray. Ask the Lord. Lord, give me an opportunity. And I challenge us all to do that. And I believe the Lord will be pleased because he wants us to get the word out. Well, I also want to share with you that Miss Sharon Williams, right here by Brother Daniel, and she's such a blessing, and we thank God for her. She's been coming now for some time, but she's saved and baptized and wants to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we rejoice with that, and then we're so thankful for that. Also, Amy and I, we were talking with Cassandra Cutshaw. She's been coming for a long time and saved and baptized here, actually, but on paperwork, I failed to get her officially join in the church. So Cassandra's brother, Lynn and Miss Bonnie's granddaughter, we thank God for her as well. And so I'd like to present to you Sharon Williams and Cassandra Cutshaw for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so I need a motion for that. Leroy Shepherd makes a motion for that. Second it, Brother Joe Shaw. Is that right, Brother Joe? And he waved at me. It was a low wave. I know what you're thinking. Don't tell him to do it, but praise the Lord. And so all in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Praise the Lord. I want you, many of you, to come by and see Miss Sharon. She'll be a blessing to you, just like she's been to Amy and I. And we're certainly thankful that God led her here to Buffalo Ridge. What a joy and a wonderful, wonderful present, a gift for today. And we're thankful for that. Well, it's been a pleasure to be in church. And through the Sunday school hour, through all that's coming, please don't forget, this week I told you about sharing your faith and I want to overload us. But please do that. Of course, we ought to always, Christians, be doing that. But think of somebody that you could invite next Sunday to hear Dr. David Gibbs. He is a delightful speaker. I know I've said that multiple times, but he really is. You will not be disappointed. If you're disappointed, it'll be the first time that I've ever heard him that you were. He's just got a wonderful gift of presentation, and he's the type, I don't think he will preach an hour, but he's the type that could preach an hour, and you'd look at your watch and say, I can't believe it's been that long. Now, most of us are, we can preach about 15 minutes, and man, it feels like over an hour. But he's not one of them. And so I challenge you to have somebody that you've been wanting to bring to church. This would be a great time to have him, and then or have them. And then don't forget the tickets out in the lobby for the outdoor night. That's a great chance. You say there's a theme here going on, and there is. That's a great chance to get somebody who probably wouldn't ever come to church with you, but they might come to a gymnasium at the on the parking lot of the Baptist church for that outdoor night. And we'll preach the same message there. We'll tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust that you'll take advantage of these opportunities and have some folks with you. Thank you for being in church. I'm just taking a last glance because one of these days, you know, it's going to be over for all of us. And I certainly don't mean to bring a somber moment to it, but Brother Nathan's brother went home to be with the Lord, and we never know when it'll be our last time. And so I challenge you to love your family, encourage your friends, lift one other's burdens, enjoy what the Lord has done in your life, sing a song of Zion, have a good time, because God has been so, so good to us. I'm certainly, certainly blessed. So what we're going to close in prayer, and Brother Joe Shaw, would you mind slipping up here and asking God's blessings, and Amy and I will get back there, and then if you're able to, just swing around this way. Brother Daniel's right up here. Miss Judy, why don't you come up there by Miss Sharon instead of Daniel? You'll be doing a much better job. Boy, look at that. See, that's much more, yeah. And come by and see Miss Sharon. She's a blessing. I know she will be to you. Amy and I will be back in the lobby. If we can do anything for you, we'd certainly be glad to. Brother Joe, it's wonderful to have Miss Pat here, but you pray for us.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the message today. Lord, thank you for setting our feet upon a solid rock, Lord, and take us out of that horrible pit, Lord. God, I praise you, bless Brother Nathan, his family today, Lord. Help them through this difficult time, I know. And God, thank you that his brother was saved, Lord. And God, he'll meet him again in heaven one day. Thank you again for this church, for allowing us to be here and worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.